Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Well, thank you. And what's the weather like there?
Not bad, actually. Not bad at all. It's been a pretty good week. Pretty good week so far.
We've got that over there. I'm moving on.
Transfer deadline day yesterday. It's exciting for fans and for watchers of football, no doubt about that. I would imagine from a football club point of view, you can be relaxed that the transfer window's closed. A sense of relief that certain people have stayed and certain people have gone from your club. When you're a chairman, KB, I would imagine, did you like it when deadline day was over?
Well, by and large, we always try to do the deals in the early part of the transfer window because that's when the best deals and the best players are obtained. Usually an awful lot of the last few deals done are frantic ones with no particular reason to them. Either that or they're overpriced. And again, it further disturbs the setup of the squad. So, no, I didn't like transfer windows. And don't forget, is it 3 weeks' time? Then we can start doing 90-day loans. So it starts all over again.
Well, in fact, the emergency loan window is gone. You can only sign free agents now. There's no emergency loan window, so that option has sort of restricted clubs, which is, I think is going to make a bit of an impact.
Goalkeepers, yeah. Well, shows you how late I am. what is to be retired?
Well, I can only imagine.
At least, what are the journalists going to write about? Well, there's no transfer speculation.
Well, yeah. That is it. And I suppose the managers don't keep getting asked the same questions by us media, which would probably be beneficial for Gary Monk. I mean, Leeds United did make a signing on the last day. They brought in from Bournemouth, the Republic of Ireland international, Union O'Kane. Good midfielder. Only played a few times last season in the Premier League. But once again, I think a lot of Leeds fans were hoping for a striker, not another midfielder.
Well, we certainly are short of goals so far this season, aren't we? On the other hand, I can remember getting a few goals from midfield with the likes of Sam Barman. So that we can just see what the manager... I personally believe this manager isn't a bad one. And I just hope that he's given enough time by Cellino to settle down and work his way through the load he inherited, which you probably... some of whom we probably wouldn't have wanted if he had been around when they're being signed.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans will think exactly the same way, KB.
But as I did say, I think a couple of months ago, let's not get worried about the early results. Let's look at the league table at the end of September. That's the important one. And that's the international weekend this weekend. Does give Gary a couple of weeks to get to know his players more, assess them, find out their strengths and weaknesses instead of being on the conveyor belt of, you know, pre-match and post-match preparation.
Moving on to, well, it's international break, of course, this weekend, so and also non-league day as well. Big Sam Allardyce, first game up against Slovakia. And just news that came out this week that he's going to be looking at a number of foreign players to see whether they will be eligible to play for England. This sort of rears its head every few years, KB.
Well, the fact of the matter is, called football is now totally international, and you do get players who all the time, I remember the old joke used to be this player being asked if he qualified for England, if he qualified for Ireland, by the way. He said, well, my mum did have a pint of Guinness in Dublin Airport 10 years ago, but apparently he didn't pass the test. But the fact of the matter is you want good players. If you can get them, wherever you get them from. And there are plenty of players in England who will be hunted by Jamaica and the likes and Ireland for them to go and play there. So, but you know, the fact of the matter is the English team isn't good enough. English squad isn't good enough. And therefore they have to look out, think outside the box, try and improve it. On that say, Wayne Rooney has stated he's retiring after 2018, and he's taken a lot of criticism for it this week. But actually, I think it's a good decision. He's saying he's 30 now. He'll be 32 in 2018. He'll be 36 in 2022. So if he's still playing, then he'll be certainly past his best. So what he's really doing is giving Allardyce and England notice, we've got 2 years to find my replacement. I'll give all I've got for the next 2 years. But after that, you know, I think I'll be past it over the hill. And therefore, I think it's very good of him to give England notice that they're going to start looking for his replacement now. Which also means that Sam Allardyce can start doing his experimenting in the friendly games, which obviously aren't important, but give experience to kids for the important competitive matches.
Well, moving on from football, KB, and this interesting times in politics this week. Theresa May, the Prime Minister, chairing a meeting of Cabinet at Chequers this week, which is discussing our approach to leaving the EU and Brexit and the plan to Brexit and how we prepare to do it over the next couple of years.
Well, I think it's also important that the second half of the meeting yesterday, all the civil servants were excluded. So the nudges and the winkers and the influencers and were out the door, and just the politicians whose reputations will make or break stand or fall on how they handle this, were able to talk without notes being taken, without being recorded, without being intimidated. And I hope the trade turn around and say, well, you three guys have got the job. Get on with it. There are rumours of splits, disagreeing between Hammond, Davis and Johnson. We don't need them. Go get the finger out and get things sorted out and get on with it. And I personally believe it should be sooner rather than later. And I personally believe we should agree in the 50-day, the signing of Clause 50 as soon as possible. And the interesting people are now saying all silly things about the referendum, etc., etc., etc. They forget a few things constitutionally. First of all, it was in the Tories' policy election manifesto. It stated we would have a referendum in the EU. The Tories won the election and they put a vote to the House, which was approved, and there'd be a referendum in the EU. So that's now law. Had the referendum, we said Brexit. So that is now law. All they have to do now is negotiate the terms of law. To all these people saying can't be done unless it's approved by the House of Commons and House of Lords, etc., etc., etc. It's all nonsense. Everything has been approved, it's law. And I couldn't believe one idiot woman, peer, or peeress, on TV yesterday, who says, well, I don't know anything about Brexit. I don't know this, I don't understand it. Well, I thought, well, for the last X number of years, you'd be getting £300 a day attendance money, plus your expenses. You knew it was coming up. So why is it that 15 months after the last election, all that, you haven't done a bloody thing or any work to find out what she's to know about? She should be ashamed of herself. Either get her finger out and get down and find out what it's about, or resign from the House of Lords. It's as simple as that. The interesting things are coming out, aren't they? First of all, this trade, this TTIP, I can't remember what it stands for now. Basically, it's the trade negotiations between Europe and America. Not getting anywhere. And the European representative now said it's too much loaded in in the American's favour. It's put it out and forget it. That's one thing. Secondly, the American Treasury and Congress are going mad because the EC have dumped a $13 billion fine on Amazon or Google. I can't remember which, right? They're all the same bunch of Americans. $2 as far as I'm concerned. And they're going absolutely mad about it. How dare they, this is disgraceful, blah, blah. Hang on. What about all the interference from American government? Have all the billions of fines been paid by foreign companies to the American government? And sometimes very spurious excuses. So how dare the Yanks turn around and say that Europe has no right to interfere with foreign companies? That's why I've never done business in America, would not invest in America, wouldn't have a bank account in America, wouldn't buy any American shares. So I admire them in some respects, because the Yanks look after their own. But I despise them in many other respects, because they don't give a damn about anybody else. Do you remember their special relationship with Britain? All we do is toady up to them. And then, of course, a couple of years ago, Mr. Obama made that famous speech to the French government when he said, we have a special relationship with you and our oldest allies. So I thought I must go back to the this Confederate state before the Americans became federalized. Who was it? Come on, Louisiana? I think it might have been. State. Anyway, they are. I think they purchased. Actually, the Louisiana purchased. The Americans purchased Louisiana off the French government, just as they bought Alaska off the Russian government. Bet Mr. Putin's really upset about that now. Just think about it. Russia, 100 miles from Vancouver, 500 miles from San Francisco. So sometimes the government's going to run. But anyway, Brexit, back to Brexit. And we should be strong, we should be firm. We don't need the support of all these little countries who only got into Europe because of the EC's vainglorious and ambition to create an empire. But you don't create an empire taking over weak, incorporating weak departments into your business. Brexit sooner rather than later, and firm. Europe needs us more than we need them. The Italian banks are on the brink of bankruptcy. Cyprus had a near miss. Greece is in a terrible mess. Spain, and you read in today's papers, in Europe, the unemployment rate among youngsters in Europe is 50%. That's 50. What have they got to offer us? We have an awful lot to offer them, which is Russia with might give our oldest firm. And we must get out of the fisheries agreement. So all our boats in Whitby and Hull and get out again, start in Grimsby, start catching fish, instead of sitting in the docks watching French fishermen coming to deliver English fish to English docks. Common agricultural policy, scrap it. I was a farmer at the time of introducing milk quotas, destroyed an awful lot of farmers. All we did was introduce more French milk. No, let's go for it and stick with it.
Well, let's leave it there, KB, and thank you for your time this week, and we'll catch up again next week.
Thank you, and good luck, lads.